Hey, ladies, it's Wednesday. How you doing?
Awesome.
Oh, okay. Well, happy Wednesday. We are back with another episode. Are you all ladies ready for some cocktails and conversation?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get it crack-a-lackin'.
Are you ready for cocktails and conversation? Are you ready for cocktails and conversation? Are you ready for cocktails and conversation? Conversation with your host, the unapologetic diva, Dr. G, the girlfriend therapist, Dr. Cortina Lewis, and the networking extraordinaire, Diana Richardson Phillips.
Are you ready for cocktails and conversation? This is Herspiration Happy Hour.
It is Wednesday, another wine down Wednesday. I'm kind of having some wine, but I want to hear what we have for our drink of today. Oh, are you drinking it?
A twist on it.
Okay.
Exactly. But without further ado, I'm going to introduce tonight's cocktail. It is called the Entrepreneurial Elixir. And so this cocktail combines a fiery passion of jalapeno infused tequila with the sweet and sophistication of pineapple and a touch of lime for balance. It's not only a tantalizing treat for our taste buds, but it's also kind of like a metaphor for that blend of passion and strategy required for entrepreneurial success. So it has very vibrant colors and bold flavors, and it is sure to be a hit at any networking or business gathering. And so in order to make this tantalizing cocktail, you would need 2 ounces of jalapeno infused tequila, 1 ounce of pineapple juice, 0.5 ounces of lime juice, 0.5 ounces of simple syrup, a few jalapeno slices for garnish, and a pineapple wedge as well. And you pour all of that, you shake it together, and then you can pour it over ice.
Okay, awesome. Okay. I love tequila, so I will definitely be trying.
I like tequila. I like tequila in different things, mostly because it doesn't really start off sweet, and you can kind of, you can finesse it where if it's too sweet, you can add a little bit more tequila to cut some of the sweetness off. What did you twist yours with?
Well, it's no jalapeno in here and it's no tequila in here. So I have rum mixed with vodka. So I have raspberry vodka mixed with coconut rum and 3 splashes of cranberry juice, a little bit of lavender flower, and some simple syrup with a dehydrated lime wedge.
That sounds good.
Wait a minute, you have dehydrated limes at your house? Mm-hmm. You know what? You're showing
and
out.
And oranges and blood oranges. You know, I'm, you know.
Okay. Look, I'm not even going to say anything. I've been thinking about dehydrating different things. I already do like stuff for the dog, including I just started making like my own little chips. They're beet chips. I dehydrate them. So they're actually really good. So before we really kick off this episode, I really want to have some conversations and it makes me very sad that, you know, when I'm logging online, you know, and in the past, yes, I have seen missing teens, but nobody who it directly ever impacted that I've known in some at some capacity. And so right now there are 2 teens that are missing. One is one we have in the Orlando area. Cortina, she's near you. Janiyah Jackson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one. And is, you know, she has mental health issues. And you said recently they said that she had
getting inside of a dark color, like one of, I guess a crossover, a small SUV vehicle. Mm-hmm. She was there standing there for a little bit and then she got into the vehicle.
Mm. And that makes me sad. And so there is There is another one that her name is Alexandria Chapman, and she's missing out of the Memphis area. And I'll share that one with you all as well. Let me see if I could pull this up on here. Well, it doesn't let, let me see if it lets me do it really quick. And it's not. But her name is Alexandria Chapman. And what makes this one like really, really hit home is that she's the author of her name is Ashley G. Smith. She's her, and that's her baby sister. So 15 years old, and it's so unfortunate we're having to even have these conversations about these young girls coming up missing. And so I definitely want to look at, you know, with summertime that is on the rise, kids are going to be out more. They're going to be at malls. They're going to be, you know, and some parents do feel comfortable just dropping their teenagers because they're teens and usually don't require much supervision. You know, we have to start looking at safety factors for our, especially our young women. Human trafficking is something so real and so prevalent that I feel like it warrants discussion. So ladies, I'd just like to kind of know how, what your thoughts are on, you know, these young girls that's constantly coming up missing on our timelines.
I mean, it's terrifying. I have a daughter who's 17, right? And so, but I think there needs to be balance. I can't be so overprotective out of fear because of what's happening to others that I shelter her to a position where it's detrimental to the natural maturation of a teenager. Mm-hmm. And so just having these conversations consistently, like watch your surroundings, be careful who you are around. If you see something, tell me, I don't care if you think I'm going to be mad. I don't care what time it is. I will come pick you up no matter what it is. And I will not ask any questions. The fact that you made it home safe is my biggest concern. And so I think that is important. Also, when it comes to having conversations about the safety of online and meeting strangers off of online and you don't really know them, we have to make sure that we are equipping our children, not just girls, but also boys and non-binary individuals, that we are equipping them with sense and education and knowledge as it relates to everybody who seems nice don't always have the best intentions. So are we giving them the information about online stranger danger? And no matter how much you feel like you know this screen name, that might not be the real person behind the screen name. And if you feel like you want to meet someone, share that with someone and don't do it by yourself or alone. And then when it comes to the mental health piece, we still have to be very diligent with making sure we are having the conversations and providing our young adolescents and teens with the resources necessary to address any type of mental health challenges that they might be battling or that they might be going through. So that's kind of my take on what's happening.
Okay. And so I want to share, I was able to get it together on here, but I definitely wanted to share, you know, at least if somebody sees somebody, you know, see her, say something. You know, she's 15. I think Janiyah is 16. So like I said, her name is Alexandria Chapman. She was last seen at school. And then one other location when I was just looking this morning just to kind of follow up on the story and, you know, but she was last seen at school, and then they said something about Lamar Street. So I'm not that familiar with Memphis. I've hosted kids' books tours there. So, I mean, you know, look at her face. If you've seen her, you know, call the police, let somebody know, notify something, because, you know, we don't want to have to, you know, have the burden of, you know, a young girl dying or being trafficked, you know, and they're doing their best to cut down on it. But this social media, and like Cortina was saying, you know, you just have to know who all you are meeting or your children are meeting. Because, I mean, even adults, the one lady that just, you know, that was killed over the Uber. It's like, is anybody safe? And so I think this is a great time to just have, you know, briefly kick off our show with having these conversations about being safe and being vigilant, no matter whether you're a teenager or whether you are a grown woman. Keep your head on a swivel.
Did you see the lady who was found, her body parts were scattered across the city, and she went on a date?
Yes.
With
yeah.
someone, and they found her leg from the torso down, you know, and that's scary, right? And I think we have to be mindful about going to non-public places with people we don't know, who we have just met. It might be safer to, for in the beginning, to meet in public places that are well lit and well populated until you really get to know someone and feel a different type of level of comfort and security. Can you really know somebody? No. But I think it still is important for us to do our due diligence as it relates to our safety.
I agree, especially in this era that we've been in, speaking in terms of right now, the online dating. You know, there has been case after case after case where women are meeting men from, you know, these online dating apps, so on and so forth. And then things are happening to them, right? Either they're dying, being beaten, raped, all sorts of things. So it is very important that you are, I don't know, because I'm glad that I'm not dating right now. But if I was, you know, I would be very selective. And yes, I would be meeting people in very open public places for a very long time. And in terms of our young ladies that are being kidnapped, right? I remember when I was younger, and I still say, you know, you're never too old, you know, even teenagers, you know, my mom used to tell me, if someone approaches you, because, you know, predators are, you know, they're creative. Your mom told me to come pick you up. Your mom said, you know, or anybody, that could really happen. And maybe try a code word. That's what my mom gave us. She was like, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I said, you know, to pick you up or anything, this is a code word. If they don't have the code word, do not go with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is very important that we are educating our youth. I don't have children, but I do have two nieces, you know, who are now, you know, they're getting up there in age. They're 7 and 8, you know, and it's a scary thing, you know, because it's real out here. I've been in a situation before where I believe in my heart that had I opened my door, I don't know, you know, the white van era, that's what it was. So, I mean, we can call it sex trafficking. I don't know. Someone was watching me many years ago. And if I would have opened my door, I don't even know if I would be sitting here today. So it's very important that, yes, we keep our head on the swivel and that we use common sense.
Yeah.
At all times.
I was going to say, look, I'm in my 40s and I was just at a location on Sunday. There's a filmmaker who is filming a documentary about mental health therapists and their experience with finding providers and everything like that. So like mental health for the mental health healer. And so the filming was taking place at a hotel. Okay. When I got there, And not that I believe that this person was going to do something, but you just never know. I shared my location with my husband. I said, this is where I am. If you don't hear from me in 2 hours, this is my location. And not because I thought something would happen, but you just never know.
That's
you
right.
have to be vigilant. And I'd rather know give out information and not need it than not have given out any information and they need it.
That's right.
This is who I'm meeting. This is the room number. This is it. And hey, like I said, do I feel like I fit the profile to be human trafficked? Not necessarily. I think I'm outside of the age range a little bit. And maybe my body type is not within what someone would want to get online. But just to be safe, I felt like that was necessary for me to do. And I did it.
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, even just driving and pumping gas could go wrong, you know. Jay automatic, I think, you know, so my family and I, we share locations no matter what, you know, so Jay always knows where I'm at. A lot of my single friends, I know where they're at because I share locations with them. You just never know of what's going to take place, what's going to happen. I also feel like, you know, single friends, you can always tell their location. If you don't hear from them in a while and they're not answering the phone, they live alone. And so I'm like, okay, she's been home and she hasn't answered the phone. You know, if I got to do a wellness check, somebody go over there. I think that there is something important about, you know, people knowing your whereabouts. And I know some people feel like, oh, they don't need to know my business. Know my business, because the new world today. Yeah, absolutely. In the world today that we live in, I don't trust nobody. I'm like this here before I get in my car going to the coming from the grocery store. I feel that same way with, you know, pumping gas, especially if I'm traveling and it's evening time. So the later it get, I'm like, let me hurry up and get gas and stopping at well-lit areas. I love pulling up to a gas station, even though it's well-lit, where there's a state patrol or a police officer car that's out there. So there's just all kind of safety things that I put, you know, around me, because I'm like, I worry about my well-being, especially. And you have to. And you know, speaking of dating now, I remember before Jay and I even got together and I just wanted to date, I never trusted anybody, because even going out on dates, people lie. People were lying about their age and lying about all kinds of things. And I'm like, you don't even got to lie. So I made it a point that I would only go on dates during lunchtime. At work, I would leave my job, go at a very public place, have lunch, and then come back, because I was like, that's time. I don't have to sit here and deal with you. And sometimes I never did really dinner dates unless it was with friends and I would do happy hour. But I, when it came to dating and they was like, well, can I take you to dinner? No, I'll see you for lunch. Because I knew I had to get back to work. And if I didn't go back to work, somebody would know I'm missing.
Mm-hmm. True.
So, you know, that's a little tidbit for y'all.
That's a little tip for ladies out there dating. Try the lunchtime. You know,
Do all lunchtime. And because you're not picking me up, you can't. No, but because I already know, if you believe it or not, if you go off for lunch and you don't come back, and it's the end of the day, somebody is going to recognize that you're missing. At nighttime, somebody's not going to recognize that you are missing until either the, you know, late. Or the next day, within an hour at work, if you're an hour late, they're going to be like, okay, so it must be something wrong.
Absolutely. So,
there's definitely a little dating tip for those out there, especially y'all on those apps. Don't trust anybody. I just can't believe that girl just got her whole body cut up in pieces and over.
Wait a minute. Okay. What? Because I am an advocate for online dating and apps.
Oh, right? I didn't say, I'm just saying though.
Because I think even if you meet somebody at the gas station, they could be the serial killer next door too.
True.
So before apps even happened, you know, we were having people going on blind dates, you know, meeting people at various places, and things were still happening to them. I think because of the newness of when it first emerged, that all of these dangers were out there, but at the same time, people need to vet the same way. You just don't. We just met today. Oh yeah, we're gonna go out tonight, and I'm gonna go to their house. You don't even know how this person
or invite them over to your home.
See, that's why I said just do lunch.
I would say not. I would caution not even that quickly. Right. Mm. One of the things is there was so many people that I matched with, but when I had either messaging before you're not getting my phone number. We're going to message. Let me see how you interact. Let me see what your messaging is like. Let me see what type of time you are on. Mm-hmm. Because if you were not up to par, you would not even get any type of information from me. My phone number, because people can do reverse searches and find your address. No, we're going to stay on this app. Then if you made the cut. Now you're going to get my business phone number. You're not going to get my personal cell phone number, because I need to see, okay, what do you sound like? What's happening? What's this conversation? Because your messaging might be okay. Mm-hmm. But when we actually get on the phone, it might be a little bit of different vibe. And so it wasn't until I was comfortable enough, and I'm not saying fully comfortable when I'm going to your house, but comfortable enough to meet you in public, that I would say, okay, let's go someplace public to meet, because now I got to see what the physical interaction is as it relates to us sitting in front of each other. Are we just looking at each other and you looking at your phone, or are we engaged in the conversation? So for me, when I was dating online and when I am having different types of talks with my dating group, we talk about these different types of things, right? We have to make sure we're not so anxious that we are missing red flags, mm-hmm. and that we are not being cognizant of the internal flares that's going off, like wrong road. No, we don't want to do this. Okay. Because we're so anxious to meet someone and be with someone and start something new and fresh, because it can be exhilarating. It can be exciting. And so let's not lie and say, you know, that it isn't meeting someone new. But at the same time, we have to include those precautionary type of things so that we stay mm-hmm. safe, so that yeah. we make it home.
Exactly. No, and so for me, I was not on an app when I met these people, but I was like the happy hour queen. So I would go out and I would literally meet people, and they were like, oh, I'd like to take you out lunchtime.
Well, I knew it was a
number. I already knew where I was going to be meeting, because I didn't really want a relationship. So there was no need for me to be on an app.
Well, I feel like people thought maybe that I was a call girl, because I would go to the same place with all my dates. It's comfortable for me. We going to this, you know, this way we going. So they probably was like,
girl, stop it. She's a call girl.
She got somebody different every day. What is going on with her?
I had plenty of fish. And this was back. This was like, I don't even, 20, I don't know, a long time ago. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I heard the pond was dirty now.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it depends.
It was interesting, it right? Because when I was working, and I was single at this time, and I had one of my coworkers, she had met her husband on Plenty of Fish. And she was like, you should try Plenty of Fish. I was like, okay. So I made my little profile. I mean, ding, 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 ding. And so I found one guy that I thought that I kind of liked a little bit. So we were talking, ended up giving him my number. I was turned off from the whole app. Let me just say it that way. It just felt like, and not just him, but some of the conversation, it just felt like it was a hookup site to me. And I just put it in the Lord's hands and was like, when you ready to deliver me somebody, I mean, I'll just wait patiently. I'm gonna wait and get off this app. And I hadn't been on any, but I know a lot of people who have utilized apps.
Yeah.
Match.com. Yeah. What is eHarmony?
Our Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christian.
Bumble. Christian yes. Mingle.
Christian Mingle.
So
I don't know about Tinder though. I do know a lot of people that did the what is that? The swipe left.
Yeah, Tinder is great. Tinder is, so this is what I will say about apps, right? It gives you a lot of opportunity very quickly. It's very different than dating in real life. So you may get a lot more trash and you may feel like the apps are trash, but it's not like you're meeting one person at a time in the real life. And right. it gives you the ability to sift through people much more quickly, especially if you are busy and you don't really necessarily put yourself in situations and you might not want to meet anybody or date anybody in your same field or going to a conference because it's in your lane and you're like, nah, that's a little bit too close to what I do. It gives you a bigger pool. Now, is there piss in the pool? Yes. However, what I like to say is, if I'm on this app, I have to know that there is somebody else like me that has the same desire and not own this foolishness. And so, yes, you are going to have to sift through a little bit. But I have met some, when I say amazing people, and it probably wasn't love matches, but they was just some real cool people that I am even in contact with today. And for those of you who don't know, I met my husband on Bumble. So that is how we met. We met on a dating site. And so even before we met, I had always been a proponent and an advocate for people to just try it. And you only get out of it what you put into it. If you're on there every other day and you're on there for 10 minutes, you ain't serious about dating, because you're going to have to be on there. It's how much effort when it comes to dating, do you have the capacity to put in? If you have the capacity to say, you know what, I'm going to designate 2 hours to this app because this is like me dating. If I was going on a date, it might last 2 hours. This is what I'm going to put in because I might not go on today. I might miss the person that probably would have been great for me. And so you have to be able to balance how much time am I willing to put on there? And I'm not going to let the first 10 people that's trash distract me from continuing on the process, because them 10 people might get out the way, but I needed them to get out the way because, oh, this is a very nice person. And I tell anybody this, my husband was my number three. He wasn't even my number one. And so I think getting to know people and experiencing them, and after our first date, then I was like, oh, okay, this is very nice. And I'm going to be honest, I thought our first date would be our last, and he thought the same thing. Because I was like, okay, we're going to go out, we're going to see what this is about. Because like I said, my mind was on somebody else. I was like, okay, I'm going to go date this person. And so we started talking because he was very different. You know, D, quiet, laid back. I'm like, he's an engineer. He might be geeky. I ain't with all this. So I was like, I'm liking the conversation. Okay. And then afterwards, to be honest, I was like, this is fun. This is cool. And so he was like, you want to go downtown? And so we ended up going downtown City Walk. So downtown City Walk, they have like all the clubs. We went to like 3 different clubs. We ate. It was like really, really, really lighthearted, cool, fun. And I was like, this is very nice. Now I will say I called him when I got home to make sure I got home safe. He didn't answer the phone. So he had a strike against him. I was like, oh, hell no. He didn't just try me like this. But that is, again, you got to get to know somebody.
Right.
I found out his real bedtime, he used to go to bed at like 8:30. So I had him at like to like 2:30. So it was like way past his bed.
He went home and passed out, child.
Sleep for real. So when he said that, he was like, so he called me the next morning. I'm so sorry, but I went to sleep. In my mind, I'm like, okay, yeah, you went to sleep. But as I got to know him, I'm like, oh yeah, this man is like an old man for real. He do go to sleep early. Like, okay,
he get his rest. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
rest.
But he wakes up like at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. So I understand it. But again, I tell people all the time, it's about what you put out. What's the energy of your bio? So when I'm doing my dating groups, we talk about the energy of the bio. We talk about their introductions. We talk about their conversation. Who's leading the conversation? What are we talking about in the conversation? Are you straightforward and direct as it relates to what it is that you are looking for when you are on these sites, right? If you're looking for food and fun, you need to state that. You know, right. One of the things that I put was, you know, people would ask me, what are you looking for? I'm not looking for anything. If something happens, then that's just what it is, because I don't want to be too anxious and say I'm looking for a long-term relationship. No, because I don't want to just be tunnel vision, long-term relationship, but I know I'm open. That was my whole thing. I'm open to opportunities and experiences, whatever that may be. Now, I know I ain't looking for no hookups, so I made that very clear, but at the same time, I didn't want to put that pressure out there, and it yielded me a great result.
I like it.
Yeah, I was trying to see what LaCara Turner said. She said, plenty of fish scared me from any other dating site. So I asked her why. Oh, really? Oh my gosh. Okay. And Tasani says she tried. Tasani says she tried eHarmony before. And I asked her how that was for her. And you know, she said that, you know, the person didn't look like the profile. Maybe it was an old pic.
That happened.
She said the phone combo was good, but meeting in person was not good. That's what she said. So,
and that's what happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and you know what? But I always say, no matter what, there's always going to be a few bad apples that will ruin the bunch. And so I think that's why so many people try to, you know, they're creating dating apps, hoping to make things safer, more serious. I have known people who have been on dating sites where the people were married on there, saying that they were separated and they were really married. I'm like,
what? You're going to get that in real life, too.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. So I'm just like, what in the world? Oh, she says she felt overwhelmed with all the messages to the point it scared her off. Okay.
They will run you down.
So on Bumble, I did not have the paid version because I was already paying for Tinder. And so when you pay a little bit, you know, you will only be able to get messages from people who you match with together. So if you might swipe on them, they cannot even message you. So that's one thing. And then, like I said, I was willing to, because I was in a position where I felt like I was ready to date. I was willing to pay a little bit, but I ended up finding my little king right there on the little free one, child.
No, that's right.
I was like, this is mama. I already paid for one. I'm not going to be paying for all of these. But, you know, and then it was the relationship that I had for 5 years that I met in person. Yeah. That was the trash one. That was the one who I found out later he was married. Okay. And I met him in real life. So like I said, you can meet people anywhere. There are going to be deceitful people no matter where you go.
Absolutely.
That is 100% true. And just by the way, LaCara, if you felt overwhelmed with all the messages, you know, you were just looking that bomb. So they was like, oh, fresh meat. She looked good. They was like, oh yeah, let me go ahead and let me see what she got, what she working with.
Right.
And I can imagine. Oh, she hold up. We have a question. Let's see. Do you think the men take the dating apps more seriously with the paying apps? Do you think like men are more serious about whether they pay for it?
So this is the thing. All of the apps have free versions. Mm-hmm. So you might not know who has the paid version versus the ones who don't, except for when I was on Black People Meet. I think we all kind of had to pay, but it was still some trash on there too. So mm-hmm. I think some people pay for convenience. That doesn't mean I'm serious. What I looked at, which D fell through the cracks, but I looked at the amount of effort they put into their bio. If you only have one picture and like here to see what's cracking, you ain't serious. You ain't serious.
Yeah.
So that was my standard, because I enjoy reading profiles. I enjoy looking at people. So I did not just look at what somebody looked like. You own some stuff that I ain't know. Oh, to the left, to the left. Right. I'm just going to be swiping, because for me it went a little bit deeper. I wanted to put more effort into it. And so when it came to, I wouldn't say men or women put more effort into it or more serious are more serious about it. What I will say is you have people across the board, males, women, men, women, non-binary individuals who are serious, and you have a good healthy percentage of people on both sides who are not. Because I even know people who go on the same sex dating sites and they still have the same issues that individuals on the opposite sex dating sites have. Yeah. So that is just taking it from a, you know, cross-sectional type of perception to say, you know what? Even on the lesbian sites, I get people that's telling me like, girl, they playing. And even on the gay sites, like they just want to be out here, you know, hoeing around. So it really just depends. If you're serious, you have to know that there is somebody else on this app that is as serious as you are. Mm. And like I said, I met some great people. It was one person that I met before I met D. He actually lived in Orlando. I didn't live in Orlando, but he was really ready for a serious relationship, which at that point I was too, but he would not commit because of the distance between us. Just so happened, I ended up moving up here, and he is a cousin to one of our very close friends. Small world. But he was very upfront with me. He met somebody while he was here, and he was like, and we always told each other, if we meet somebody, we'll tell each other. And he ended up meeting the person who was now his wife, you know, and I'm happy for them. But he was a cool guy. He had his stuff together and everything. And I met him on the app. Like I said, I met some amazing people on the app. He was good, but I also met some other amazing people, but there was just no love match, but we still check on each other and everything like that. So everybody ain't piss and trash and everything. It's some of that in there, but it's also some really good people as well.
So in your opinion, do you feel, I mean, of course you met your husband on the free side. Do you, in the people that you talk to that are on these dating sites, meeting different people, is infidelity ever an issue for a lot of them, the people that they meet and have relationships with? Because I mean, if you're kind of starting to see somebody, but they keep the app open
while you, this is the thing. You have to have a conversation, because even when me and D started dating, we weren't exclusive. So I'm right. Still swiping, baby. Cause you said lock me down yet. We ain't there. So I think that it's a conversation that you have with that person. And we were very honest, like, I'm dating. So that means I'm going on dates, right? I'm not gonna give you blah, 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 blah detail, but if I'm unavailable, we're cool, we're kicking it. And so I think that's where communication comes in. You have to be able to communicate exactly where you are. If you want me exclusively, baby, what are you doing? Are we exclusively dating in a non-monogamous or monogamous type of way? Is that what we're doing? Okay, so now I know the guidelines. And so what does that mean for each other? If we're just trying to see where this might be able to go, you're free to do whatever you want to do, as am I. And so that's where it is. And so I think when people start to think of infidelity, it's because there is not a clearly defined position as to what do we have going on. And that doesn't mean a title. It just means that there is an understanding about what does this mean. Just because I buy you a meal or you buy me a meal, that doesn't mean I belong to you. That just means we broke bread. We had a meal together. Now yeah. We need to have a deeper conversation, because okay, we can be dating and then we move to maybe dating exclusively. That doesn't mean that we're an item. It just means we're dating and we want to be focused on one another without the distraction of dating other people. Okay, then we might move to dating exclusively. We are an item. It's us because we are dating for long-term and future. So they're different steps. And I think when you don't have those conversations, and I know a lot of men don't really like having those what are we type of conversations, don't come at it from that perspective. Come at it from a clarifying, I just want to know so I know how to move around type of position, because I don't want to be thinking that we are one thing and we're on opposite sides of the spectrum and lines are crossed.
Yeah. But see, women have to be able to have those hard conversations.
They do.
Yep. And I find that when, you know, women like someone, right, that they don't want to have that conversation because they're afraid maybe they're going to run them off or things like that. But when knowledge is key.
Yes.
So have the hard conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be aggressive. It doesn't have to be any pressure, but at least you know.
Right.
You know, yeah. you both have to have an understanding about what it is that you both want, you know, and if you're wanting to be completely exclusive with this person and they are not wanting to be that with you, then you have a decision to make.
The ball is in your court to make that decision.
So I would say this to me, it should not be a hard conversation. Only because you own how you feel. Should never be hard when you own how you feel. And if you're either, because that's going to be the make or break of whether you get hurt or you know, because when the men are not mind readers. And so I know that with Jay and I, but with Jay and I know that I always was very honest about what I wanted. I was very honest about how I felt about everything when it wasn't serving me. And I dipped. And I'd let him know, get yourself together, but I'm not waiting. I'm not going to wait on you to choose me because I chose me. See, you know, and I think he met healed Pam. You know what I'm saying? So I had already was like, you know what? I don't have time. I took a break and didn't, you know, date anybody. And then when I felt like dating, that's when I met him across. I said, God was like, look here, we're going to have to, you over here hurting people and breaking hearts, because I didn't want a relationship. No, I was very honest. I was very transparent about what I wanted, what I did not want. And, you know, even though Jay and I had a great relationship, there were things that needed work. And I was like, you're going to have to figure that out. But trust me, whatever choice you make, that's going to be the deciding factor. And that's going to be permanent. But I'm not going to wait on you to choose me. And and I think maybe, you know, not every man is used to that. But I was all, you know, I had male friends. I've always had male friends. And I wasn't giving my male friends up. I was all in Cabo and I went to Egypt and I was just traveling, having fun. Was non-sexual, any of that. But I'm not going to wait on you. Did I date? I certainly did. I didn't go out of town with him because I feel like you got expectations if you're dating, so trying to, you know, date somebody. And I wasn't involved with anybody like that. So I feel like if I know that you have decisions to make and you have some growing to do, I'm just not going to put my life on hold. But I was honest about that. I was very forthcoming about that. And so he dated me. He still dated me for a whole year. Still dated me because I was what he wanted. But I also wasn't just going to say, you're not going to change your mind just like that and think that I'm going to take you back. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to do that. But those were things that I communicated with him. Because, I mean, I never want to leave anything, any stone unturned about how I feel. Here is how I feel. Because I felt like I did that in the past and it did not serve me well. And to me, when you are not open and real open about how you feel, you can't get mad and can't say that there were red flags when you never said how you feel. Childless. And that person never said how they feel. I mean, there are red flags to look out for, but I'm just saying, but sometimes when you're vocal, you have a little less red flags that you have to deal with because this person knows exactly where you're coming from and what you're willing to tolerate and what you're willing to put forth and what you're willing to walk away from without any problems. And sometimes walking away, those be those life lessons.
Well, mm-hmm. I remember when Masebo told me that we were going to get married on our first date.
Oh.
No, because I didn't want a relationship. No, I'm serious. I was looking at him like that scared me. I was like, I don't even know if I like you. Let's start there. But I know I did. I liked him, but not in that way. And yeah. We dated for a long time. And I was exclusive. I wasn't dating anybody else, mm-hmm. but I didn't want a title. Let me put it that way. I was very happy just being free. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We dating. We spent a lot of time together, but we not no title. No, yes. We're not doing that. And I will never forget, he had that conversation with me, called me up, and he was like, you know, are you dating anybody? I was like, no. He was like, so I'm the only one you're dating? I was like, yes. He was like, well, you know, you're the only woman that I'm dating, and I want you to be my lady.
Oh, that was so nice.
That's so old school, though. It was so old school. I was young back then. Okay, I'm old now. I was like, be your lady. And I told him, I was like, I feel like I'm in a point right now where I don't want titles.
Yeah.
We can continue on like this, dating exclusively, because I am letting, you know, I let him know, no, I'm not dating anybody else. And I don't intend right now to date anyone else. However, I'm just not interested in a title. And he was offended. He was because he wanted something different from what I wanted. He wanted the title, but I felt like we don't need a title, you know. Long story short, y'all, we kept dating. It didn't end there. And then I guess eventually he became my boyfriend and then my husband. But being honest is very key. And that comes with knowing yourself, being in tune with you, what you want, how you want it. Exactly. And when you want it. Okay, yeah. Ladies, don't be scared to speak up.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Because Jay told me, he said he don't want me dating anybody else. And I wasn't. And I was like, okay, I wasn't dating anybody else. He said, okay. That was it. There was no talk of saying, oh, we're exclusive. It's just, I don't want you dating anybody else. And I don't want to date anybody.
That was a little bit different for us. Because I say it, I'm dating. But he told me, he was like, well, he said, I can't entertain multiple people at one time. He was like, I'm not telling you not to, but that's just, I can't do that. And then I remember one thing that really made me look at him differently was, I remember I was doing my hair in the mirror, and he called me up. He was like, I have a question for you. How would you feel if I went to lunch with a friend, but it's a female, nothing like that, but it's a female friend? I said, I don't know why you're calling and asking me. You can do what you want to do. Mm. But I respected the fact mm-hmm. that he considered
absolutely
what that would look like. And I will have to say, from past relationships, I've always had a suspicion, a cloud, like, is that true? But from day one, honesty and openness has been one thing I have never had to deal with when it came to D. He always was very forthcoming. And I was like, this is real. This is kind of different. And then there were other things where he was like, I don't want 3 years from now this comes up. And I said one thing. And then, you know, we all happiness like, well, remember 3 years ago? You told me that you didn't want to entertain nobody else, but somebody saw you at lunch with somebody. He was like, I just don't deal with stuff like that. And so from there, you know, he moved up a little bit higher on because sometimes you don't know what's most important. You may be kicking it with somebody else and like you laughing, kikiing and everything. But when it comes to emotional security, sometimes it's packaged very differently than we ever expected. And so if it wasn't something that you were used to, it might feel like this is foreign, but it's a nice type of foreign that I never even knew that I needed.
Yeah. I can completely relate on that. My husband was a breath of fresh air. And I knew it early on, but in my mind, I had him in the friend box. I did. He was in the friend box for me. I was like, but I don't even know how to explain it because it happened so organically. Like I told myself he was just going to be my friend, even though I wasn't dating anybody else. And we spent a lot of time together. I mean, we were having so much fun. When I say when I say chivalry, he would come over to my house just to take the trash out, y'all. Like, and I would be looking like, you don't have to do that. He was like, no, you know, I'll do it. And I was like, okay. Okay. Yeah. I was like, okay. It was just, he's always been a man. Like a man at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, and my past relationship, like, I ain't even going to get into that. That's whole nother story. I wasn't being treated with the respect that I knew I deserved. And so I can honestly say that I forget what he did when I realized that I really liked him, that it was more than just friendship for me. I think he didn't answer the phone. Something happened and I was calling and the phone was going to voicemail and it was in the morning and I was all stirred up in my feelings because I was like, why isn't he not answering the phone? Like, is he with somebody else? And then it dawned on me like, oh my God, I like him like that. Like, I really like him like that. I was like, well, I guess he's going to have to be my boyfriend then. I really like him. Those were the days.
I love the word.
All I say, hold out hope. If you are searching or if you're in, you know, if you're looking for your Boaz, just know that he's out there.
Yeah. Really. And so, you know what? Like, we have like 10 minutes. I'm going to tell y'all. And so this is, you know, so we never even got on our topic today.
So, I'm ready for y'all too today.
You know what? So I know. So what I'm going to have to do is like change. I'm going to have to rewrite all of this stuff for this episode, but it's okay. But you know what? Here's the thing. One thing I will say is that if you ever go to happy hour, tell me that your happy hours are one laced. And this is why, remember, so years ago, we used to try to do show things and we had guests on and our guests would feel so comfortable talking about to us, it would go off script.
Yeah.
And it went off script this time. But when you have people that are engaging with you and asking questions, I'm not going to just be like, oh, let me stop what you're saying. And this, I love going with the flow, because this is genuinely just having happy hour. You can talk about a multitude of things. You can focus on one thing. I mean, this is only an hour show. And we have talked about a few different things, but with all in the same realm. And I'm comfortable with that. So for those, if you know, when you play it back, you won't even know by this point. It'll be candid talk, but about something else, not profit and passion. I have to make up this episode, or we'll have to make up this episode another time. And I'll have to rewrite some stuff. But I love the authenticity. I hope you all love the authenticity of what we have to give, and that we're not just coming off topic just to save face because we wrote something else out. I don't care.
Yeah, we just roll with the punches. I mean, leads us into these deep topics. And to be honest, this was a really good topic today, because there are a lot of women and men out here dating. I mean, it's real. It is real. And with, in light of everything that can happen, right, negatively, there's still a lot of positives that can come out of it as well. So this has been a great topic today.
Love it. That's why I had to let it be known that, you know, these are things that happen, whether it's just us or even when we have guests, you know, there's always this topic change, but literally that's what happy hour is. You're going and you're shooting a breeze with your girlfriends or your guy friends, and you know,
you jump in topics, you know, you never know where it's going to lead in happy hour.
There was no way that I was not going to start the show with, you know, the fact that we do have missing teens. Yeah. Oh, she said that's the best happy hour conversations, going with the
absolutely
flow. It really is. I mean, and that is genuine. I don't know who goes to happy hour and just be like, oh, let's just talk about, you know. I'm just saying, or you know, it's like, well, ooh, why are you changing topics? You know, oh, because I have to, because we're on a time. No, it's not. I never created this platform for that. I brought women on who would never subscribe to that kind of rigidness. Because it's the flow of just being able to naturally have conversations. And here's the thing about this. All of our relationships kind of started like this, just so really organically, not just with us as women, but in all of the relationships that we are in, and their relationships of the men, our husbands, have just organically just became its own thing.
Yeah.
So I like that. I would say, you know, at first I was like, you know, maybe, you know, you try to do show notes and you try to do like, hey, you know, drop teasers for the next one. I don't know what next week is going to be. I might just have little quick topics that are just cute, but with no real, no real kind of like, hey, talking points, because authenticity is sometimes the best thing that you can ever get out of life. And here we are extremely authentic. I love that we are extremely transparent.
Yeah.
Lord, extremely transparent. And I know some
people sometimes, because last week, y'all, if y'all didn't tap in for that one, I'm still getting questions.
You know what? Somebody said, now, you know what, to that rose thing, how you loved it. Somebody said they had to throw it straight in the trash because it was too much for them. They said it was too, I can't remember. I have to look it up on TikTok, but she was like, I had to throw it out because it was too powerful for her.
Well, that's why you have to get something with settings. You also have to get something with at least 5 to 10 settings.
It has a plethora of them though.
But even if you're on when I'm saying settings, I'm talking about the buzzing. So you see how my hand is going right now? You want to start with something that is maybe pulsating and then move up, right? Now y'all know that's my thing. I get railed.
This be the problem right here, you know.
No, but listen,
I don't know why this is not a sex podcast at this point.
I don't know why it's not either.
Look, but we are a happy hour, happy sex, openly or sex positive podcast. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, sex positive podcast.
We are a sex positive podcast, but we talk about everything, including sex. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with being highly sexual.
No,
there is nothing wrong
or
with
that. Or not. Young
lady, if she's listening, when I first used it, I just turned it on. I didn't realize all the settings, and I too threw it across the room, like, oh, what? But I went and picked it up. You know, I'm not a quitter. So I went and picked it up and I tried it again. I was like, wait a minute. So just turn it down some and just.
You said you would not be defeated by a rose.
I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not. And it was a good decision because I like it to this day. I'm just on restriction. I don't use it as much. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I don't know. So you know what? Speaking of, when you are dating, you know, especially Cortana, you probably answered that, but when you are dating, when do you introduce those conversations into your conversations?
I would say about- let it be organic. So for some people, I mean, I don't know if I would say, okay, we message you. What are we like? Well, pump your brakes. I don't even know if I want to continue messaging you. So don't be asking me that all early, because they'll be like, weirdo. Okay, no, we're not doing this. So I think that it is appropriate as the conversation is developing, there will be windows of opportunity to be able to interject that. Because if we're just getting to know each other, I don't even know if I want to actually go on a date with you outside of this phone conversation. So we ain't going, I'm definitely not going to be asking you, what is this? But after we've gone on a few dates and I'm noticing that, you know what, I'm really into you, you know, and although I may not be looking for a committed relationship right now, I would like for us to continuously have open conversations about where can this go or where do we see it going. You don't got to come straight out the gate like, okay, so what is this? Mm-hmm. That's a little bit off-putting. You want to be able to craft it very directly where you are clear on what it is that you're asking, but not in a very curt, like, attitude-y type of way. And so I think weaving it in the conversation, you would be able to not put somebody who's not ready for that on the defense, but they will be able to respond to you in a clear way without it being a knee-jerk type reaction to, God damn, I wasn't ready for it. That's what we have already. So yeah. I think you have to be very crafty when you are in introducing that. Because I would tell you, I wouldn't want somebody to come off and be like, okay, so what we doing? Because I'd be like, that's pushy.
Right. No, thank you.
Right. Yeah, I agree that it comes up in conversation, but I know with Jay, I had certain things that beforehand, so he cannot waste my time. Once I, you know, because we have just talked a little bit and I did everything to really kind of not have him interested. But I was just out there. I was like, look, first of all, if you can't fit a Magnum, don't even bother. That was a quirk.
That probably would turn me off because now we're already on the sexual part, right?
That came up during a conversation. It wasn't like
this is the thing.
But
as a speech therapist, it's not about the size or the length or the girth, because there are a lot of people with a huge member that is trash sex, let's just be honest. And then you have people who are average and it's like mind blowing, right? And so it's about the mindset in which you go into the situation with. And I would also say, you can ask the question, what is it that you're looking for? That doesn't mean you're looking for it in me. That means I'm just, hey, when you're dating, what is it that you feel like you are prepared for? Because I get it.
That's not what I shared with him. But he also know that I had a whole Ziploc bag of Magnums he found in my drawer. Like he was, when we first did, I was like, oh, they're in the top drawer. I had a whole Ziploc bag.
I've had a loss of words, but Cortina, I kind of want to hear a little bit. Now, I do understand that there are very well-endowed men who their lovemaking skills may not be the best, right? But women, we know what we like, right?
You can't have a baby finger. What I'm saying
is, that's very different,
right?
It did not work.
So this is what you got to look at, right? Mm-mm. You, as I've gotten older, I don't want a 10-inch penis. I'm sorry. I want to be able to enjoy sex.
I didn't say 10.
I'm just saying, so when we're talking, so again,
I like my organs.
Everybody's definition of what well endowed is very different. So if you're gonna have the conversation, you can't just say, okay, can you fit a condom, like what a magnum? Because let's be honest, you had this whole thing to my elbow can fit in a regular size condom. All right. So trust me, I've tried it before, right? Because I'm a sex educator. This whole thing, if I don't want this going inside of me, trust me that the average person is able to fit a regular condom. Yeah. Right. So what if I'm just used to wearing regular condoms? And if I tell you, I don't know if I can fit a magnum. I don't know. I'm not measuring it or anything. I might not have a working framework to start from. And again,
so should they be very I'm a little bit biased. Size, then I'm 6 inches and above. Or six
I'm biased. Because you have to understand, I come from a communicable disease. I was a community sex educator. So I packaged condoms. I gave out those type of resources. So my knowledge base, you would have to be very descript with me. And I would probably be more descript than the average person because of my background, right? So I'm not asking you ladies to do that. But for me, sitting here talking to you, I would probably have a lot of questions, specifically like when you say this, like what does this mean?
She said it's the motion in the ocean.
What are you trying to say as it relates? Because hell, if I check off that box, that might be the only box that I can check off, and it's great, but I might be a trash human being. So those are the things that you want to consider and that you want to take into account as it relates to, and this is not for any of us on here because we're married, not unless we're looking for new partners, but, you know, are we looking at
some stuff? We're
going
to talk about funding and actually.
Uh-oh. Diana.
Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all, I apologize. I'm trying to multitask. I have
mute yourself.
Oh, huh? Am I muted?
No, you're not.
I mean, we're over the time anyway, but go, yeah, do your thing, boo. Okay, go ahead, Cortina. I'm like, what the
I can say I muted the wrong one, y'all. So go ahead. Let me mute this. I'm thinking y'all can't hear this, no, but they can't hear me.
No, yeah. We're in it too.
You're all in it.
So when we are asking, and these are for the ladies who are going to, and men and non-binary individuals that are going to be dating, be prepared for the answer that you get. Because you might have that one line question, but they may hit you with some of the questions I'm going to come back with, and you're going to be like a deer in the headlights, like, what the hell? I done opened this can, and I wasn't even prepared for the response that I was going to get, because they going real deep, because that would be important. Because if somebody were to ask me that, oh, we going to go way to the end of the spectrum, because I'm going to want to know, okay, well, tell me, are you vanilla? Are you into kink? If so, what type of kinks are you into? You know what? Because that would be for me, the next question. Okay, we're talking about this, but there are other ways to derive pleasure. If you're only worried about size, and this is just for me, this is nothing about you, Pam, but this is just, if someone says that to me, I'm going to feel like their scope and their view of the sexual experience relating to pleasure is very narrow, because there are so many things that you can engage in without penetration that can give you more of a mind-blowing orgasm and pleasurable experience than the penetration itself. So for me, I would say, what else have you explored? Because if the focus is on that, we have to expand your horizon, man, because if that's what you're worried about, honey, you're not ready for me.
All right.
There's so many things I could answer, but I would not do it here. But, yeah, there are so many things, but it's okay. I also feel like to each his own, and I'm not saying you guys. No. First of all, I'm like you, Diana. I like my insides.
I know. I love you guys. I gotta go. I gotta jump on another call, but I love you guys. Great talk today.
Yes.
You guys, I'm at Diana Richardson Philippus, all social media platforms. Until next week. Cheers.
Cheers. And I know I'm gonna be ending this soon because we're gonna be having some conversation, but but I feel like I'm like Diana. There's no way I love my insides, but I also am very keen on what I like and don't like.
I don't even want one this big.
What the fuck?
Maybe the girth, but the length. No, I'm good. I don't.
But our choice, you know what? We're gonna have to. There's an episode coming up where we're going to have conversations that are like heavily penetrated on so many different things.
Okay.
And that one will stay on topic. I only know that because it's going to be one of those. We're going to have some surprise guests that will be coming on that to have those conversations. And it's going to be deep and dope.
I like that. Deep and dope. No pun intended.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess you got a point. So before we head out, where can everybody follow you?
Everybody can follow me at The Girlfriend Therapist on all social media platforms. And Sext, S-E-X-D, Unveiled. And at the Noir Center, N-O-I-R.
Yes, and you can follow me on all social media platforms at I Am Dr. P. Gurley, as well as the Brown Girl and Brown Boy series and the BGBB Literacy Foundation. And of course, on Herspiration Happy Hour, look, we are now streaming even on Instagram. We are streaming on Instagram. We are streaming on Facebook. I switched out Twitch for Instagram. So we are on our Instagram live. We run live for the first hour that we are chatting. And I think that's, you know, I love that they added that component. So between Facebook, yay, YouTube, Instagram, and if you want to hear back any episodes, you can check out our YouTube channel, which, oh my God, I'm going to have to rewrite this whole God darn thing. People will be like, that is not what they're talking about.
Yes, the episode.
Okay, that's what changes and whatnot are for. We always thank you all for coming out and joining us. We will be here same time, same place, next Wednesday, 7 p.m., oh, y'all getting to know because season 7, we are on fire.
We are.
And you know what? Shout out to our podcast manager, Everlyn, because she has been like on it. And I'm like, some of the clips she be pulling, I'm like, she knows she listening because she be pulling clips. I'm like, I got kids that follow me and my niece and nephews follow me. I can't share that post. Oh, maybe I'll share this one, but love the work that she is doing. Super grateful of having her on our team now. And you know what? Y'all catch us here same time, same place next week. And like we always say, cheers.
This is Herspiration Happy Hour.